All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 800-239-9569. 800-239-WJOX. You want to get in. Talking Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. One that really stuck out yesterday when Jimbo took to the podium to discuss Nick Saban and his feelings about things that had been said in his rebuttal to what Saban said at the World Games get-together two nights ago, flat out was just this.
Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it.
Do you have the parody comment that Jimbo threw out, Damian? This is the one that's most confusing to me. Now, obviously, he was saying that, you know, we want to call him a god, we want to call him the czar of football, and so that's where he went with that. But this one was a little bit odd as far as I just don't know where Jimbo was going with this.
The parody in college football he's been talking about? Go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything.
What does that mean? Like, if Saban says that he believes there should be more parody in college football, however you want to take that, and then Jimbo says the parody he's talking about, just go talk to anybody that's worked with him. I don't know where that's going. Like, what direction are you going with that? What does coaches that have coached them before have to do with potentially wanting more parody in college football? I didn't understand where Jimbo was headed with that one. But no matter where life is headed for you in 2022, for every ride, there's Royal. My friends at Royal Automotive in Vestavia, they've got you covered with new cars, trucks, SUVs that come in every single day. When they say every ride, they mean it, your old car included. Upgrade today, trade in your vehicle for top dollar. Four dealerships on one lot means whatever you want to drive, they're going to have it. Where else can you find 2022 GMC Sierra, Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, and Volvo XC90 on one spot? Not to mention Royal selection of hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, and Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. They've got your next car, truck, or SUV. You can reserve a new model in under an hour. Yes, it can be that fast. And they'll even deliver your new ride right to your driveway. How convenient is that? You already know where to find the fine folks at Royal, corner of I-65 and Highway 31 of Vestavia, online at royalautomotive.net. Remember, for every ride, there's Royal. Burr is on a sell. Wants to talk Jimbo Fisher. Welcome into the show, Burr.
Fellas, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Man, listen, I've always said football season wasn't long enough and basketball and baseball were too long. But between the addition of the USFL and this drama that's taking us into football season, I swear 2022 is the best football season I can remember in my lifetime.
It's been great so far.
Great. But listen, Cole, I'm kind of with you. I think Nick never said anybody was cheating, and I think what really just hurt Jimbo's feelings was the fact that he felt like Nick was saying that he didn't have the ability to recruit like the rest of them could without having to pay players. It really seemed like that's what it was all about, him getting his feelings hurt. Nobody said anybody was cheating, and quite frankly, like they said, it's not illegal. But here's my thing. Money can only buy so much, right? And we know Texas has deep pockets and all that. But money can only buy so much. It can't buy development of players. And my final thing is this, and here's the question. Nick Saban is the master of adapting, is what I'm trying to say. And if he's trying to tell everybody this is a bad idea, but you don't want to listen, and you open the floodgates for him to do whatever you're doing to be successful, I think he's already proven that you don't want to open that door because, hey, I'm the best at it, so let's just kind of make this thing work the way it needs to.
I don't think there's any doubt. Burr, grab that other line. Appreciate you being on the show with us today on the Bud Light Hotline, 800-239-9569. If you want to get in there, Dave is in Hoover. He wants to be a part of the show. You're on the Bud Light Hotline, Dave.
Yeah, a couple things. I told you guys 18 months ago or 16, whenever the NIL thing came about, and said, this is going to be a problem. If the NCAA would have come out and said, however, incoming freshmen, true freshmen, are ineligible to participate in NIL, so there will not be a recruiting advantage for any school, especially larger market schools where they're boosters or whatever. We all know that's what that's about. But, you know, where Nick got in trouble, and I guarantee you he was not asked, or maybe he was asked to apologize, but when he says he came right out and was accusatory in his first statement, he said, man, you know, A&M was number one recruit, we were number two. You know, they paid every one of their players. We didn't pay anybody. Jackson State, they paid a kid $1 million, the number one safety in the country. They paid that kid $1 million to go to school there. He's actually saying they wrote a check. Now, if he had worded it a little bit differently, it'd been different. But you can't blame. You know, this reminds me of when Dabo Swinney, remember a couple of years ago when, you know, Firebomb, everybody accused him of wine, and all he was doing was taking up for himself. And I can't blame the guy. So, I don't know. I think Nick's slipping a little bit because typically I couldn't see him saying and doing that. And if you go back and look at that interview again at the business function, did you see Nate Oates' face to the left of him? Go back and look at that. He didn't blink for 5 minutes. He was stunned at what was coming out of Nick's mouth. Go back and look at it again.
I'll have to go back and check
appreciate
that out.
It, guys.
Appreciate the call, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. 800-239-9569. You want to get on the Bud Light Hotline. JT has been very patient. He's in Jasper. You're on the Bud Light Hotline. JT, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, man. You know, yesterday you went old school TV when you dropped a couple of In Living Color references. So I'm going to go older school TV and do a point counterpoint from the old 60 Minutes show.
Okay.
The points you were making about Jimbo before the break, why he's upset. I want to counterpoint that with why he doesn't need to be upset. May I do that?
Sure. Have at it.
Okay.
If folks missed it quickly, I have information, and Adam Rittenberg shares a little bit of it in an article he has on ESPN.com today, that part of Jimbo's frustration is just, I think, inclusion or acceptance that, you know, there are certain people who can put classes like this together over the years, and everybody immediately shoves them away. You know, if the bouncer's standing in front of that club with the velvet rope, you know, Jimbo has showed up with two good-looking ladies. He's dressed appropriately. He's got money in his wallet, and they're not letting him in. But there's these other guys that just keep coming in the club every single year, and nobody says a word. Clemson, Ohio State, Bama. When Kirby first rolled up to the club, ka-chink, he opened it up, walked right in, no problem. He didn't even have any good-looking girls with him. It's all right. It's Georgia. He's right in. No big deal. So that's kind of where I went with that JT is referencing, if you missed that, right before the break.
Okay, so number one, and I'm not going to defend Ohio State. I can't even go there. But anyway, Clemson, Georgia have major recruiting classes. Nobody say anything because Dabo and Kirby did not leave a perennial top 10, top 5 program like Florida State in flames when they left. Okay? That's why Jimbo's not getting immediate acceptance. And he's showing up at the Velvet Rope with the way he handled the Jameis Winston situation. That stink on him too. So that's not going to get him by the bouncer either. So that's how I would counterpoint that issue. Now, the other issue I would have is when you make $10 million a year, I don't care what profession you're in. I don't care what you're doing. When you make $10 million a year, you are a professional and you should act as a professional. And good old boy football coach wearing blue jeans to press conferences and official outings and an A&M shirt and a hat on the sidelines if the bill's not quite bit correctly. You know, that's a good look, and that's playing your base, and I completely get all that. But as a professional, you don't conduct yourself the way you did at the press conference yesterday. Every follow-up question a reporter asked, he interrupted them asking that question to throw something else in that he didn't get a chance to say on his original answer. He said he had no idea what a collective was. Little old unimportant me in Walker County, when I first heard the word collective, in less than 10 minutes, I found out what it was on the internet. So a professional making $10 million a year should know what a collective is that affects, especially since it affects his profession as dramatically as it is. And finally, and this is just a probably a nitpicking thing, he kept saying, oh, I love conflict. I'm not afraid of conflict. Matter of fact, I enjoy conflict. But he wouldn't pick up the phone from Nick Saban. So that would be my counterpoint to and I'm not saying they're not valid points about Jimbo, why he's acting
sure
the way he is, why he doesn't feel accepted. But I do think there's some legitimate counterpoints there that Jimbo will not read. He talks about Nick Saban being a narcissist and not acknowledging his faults and whistling past the graveyard on his faults, so to speak. I think Jimbo does the exact same thing, and that's a sign of a narcissist in that it's everybody else's fault, not mine. There's nothing I could do different.
Great points. Great call. Really do appreciate it. Porter is on a cell. Wants to chime in. You're on the Bud Light Hotline, Porter. Porter. Thanks for trying. Roy is in Tennessee. Welcome into the show, Roy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been in a cave for 2 days, so I just went back and listened. Actually watched both videos.
Hey, Roy, I got to stop you quickly. Can you take us a little bit further into you've been in a cave for 2 days?
Yeah. I've been working so much I haven't heard the news or...
No, but, like, do you work in a cave?
No.
Okay. Well, I thought literally you meant you had been in a cave for 2 days, and I wanted to hear about just how that had gone. So, my apologies. Go ahead.
Nope, just a very hard, stressful job.
I understand.
Sorry about that.
I hope that lightens up for you.
Okay.
I apologize.
2 points. When Nick Saban was talking on the microphone, he used the words Texas A&M, and Jimbo specifically pointed Nick Saban out. Okay, and you keep saying that Jimbo's not welcome to this class of recruiting, and Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson and Georgia is now in that elite club. Well, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson didn't pay the entire recruiting class to come to college. All Nick Saban said was, if they were one, we were two. They bought or paid every player, and we didn't. So the reason Jimbo is in this class now is he had to pay the girls that were on his arms to walk in the door with the money that Texas A&M had. He didn't do it the way Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson and Georgia did it. Now, I didn't like the fact that Jimbo was calling Saban out for his practices behind closed doors, asking people to ask every coach that ever worked for him. I mean, he's got a personal grudge against Saban. I think Saban probably is a little bit narcissistic, but I think we all are sometimes. And I think when it's all said and done and the dust settles, Jimbo Fisher is absolutely wrong and Nick Saban is absolutely correct. Something has to change. You can't keep dumping money into these players. The true definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. We're not going to get different results. That's my 2 points.
I appreciate the call, Roy. And like I said, I hope things lighten up for you here in the next few days. And what I have shared about Jimbo is just what I've been told. It's not my opinion on Jimbo feeling like he's not allowed in this club and he wants a little bit more acceptance for putting that class together. I've been told that by multiple people that is a big portion of what frustrates him. And here's what's wild about the whole thing. So towards the end of his press conference yesterday, Jimbo goes into how he would like to see NIL be different.
I would like to find unified rules across this country to put things in place. That's what I want. And I don't know what those are. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't know what the antitrust laws, all those bylaws. So the government need to step in because these things here. And what's funny, in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? It's amazing, wasn't it?
The left, Rob.
When you walk on water, I guess, don't matter. I don't know what's right. It just needs to be uniformed across the board. And it's hard because the government's going to have to get involved with it. I'm not into that. I just know that what we did was nothing wrong. Was not done the wrong way. Nothing was promised. Nothing was deal. And we didn't buy any.
So I think a lot of what we're looking at here are details and semantics of – the phrase buying a player, because that's different than what it used to be. And it still could be construed as that by a lot of people, but it's not against the rules anymore. So the folks who don't believe it's against the rules and are okay with it are going to say, yeah, it's just that's where we are. And there's going to be other folks that sit back and say, well, you're still paying a guy to come show up on your campus, therefore it's not really right, even though it's not illegal or against the rules. So I think a lot of that back and forth is really in the eye of the beholder. James is in Huntsville, wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, James.
Hey, Cole. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just perplexed as to and Nick was wrong in singling out by name, you know, I understand that. But some of the things that, I mean, if you really dig and you really look at some of the reaction that Jimbo had, it was amazing to me. He at first talking about the statement he made about if somebody shows you who they really are, believe it. Well, caller back or two brought up the Jameis Winston case at Florida State, and I'm thinking at that time I was living in the Panhandle, so there was a lot of stuff went on, and that could apply to that situation as well, because he showed exactly who he was dealing with some of the antics that Jameis Winston and some of the incidents that he was involved in. He showed exactly who he was, what type of coach he was, and how he handled that situation. So, you know, people that live in glass houses don't need to be throwing too many stones. College football has, you know, long been a question. You know, there's a long been a questionable things go on behind the scenes. So, you know, don't get just because you have a sense of entitlement because you are one of the highest paid coaches in college sports, and you have a sense of entitlement into that club that you're talking about, doesn't mean you can just come kick the door in and because that way you're going to make more enemies than you do allies. So I just wanted to share that.
Absolutely, James. Appreciate the call. James listening on the Ump in Huntsville, Sports Radio 730, 103.9 FM. Always appreciate that. Porter looks like he's made his way back in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome to the show, Porter.
Hey, good morning, Cole.
Morning.
Apparently, in Jimbo's house, don't throw darts if you live in a glass house.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm kind of lost on some because I'm confused with some of the, I guess, Saban haters. Did they not forget that he did win? Did he not win the championship at LSU?
We talked about that in a break and had somebody else tweet in and ask that question. There have been two people that have called in the last 2 days that have really tried to sort of downplay what Saban did at LSU. He did win a national title. He was 48-16. He was 28-12 in conference. And I don't know, Porter, how you could try and frame it as he wasn't overly successful at LSU. I can't get on board with that. But it is weird how a few people have kind of tried to take that down that path.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So it's real confusing. So if y'all can do me a favor, look at Jimbo's record, or rather his recruiting endings when he took over at Florida State to before he left Florida State.
Okay, we'll go try to find that.
Yeah, I just want to hear those numbers and go from there and let people make their own decision on most of this stuff.
Okay, we'll try to check on that, see if we can find it. Thanks, Porter. Appreciate the call. Quickly going to go to Sean in Huntsville, also listening on the Ump, and then we got to get to Chris Lowe of ESPN on the other side, who was with Nick Saban yesterday. Welcome into the show, Sean.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Great, thanks for the call.
Listen, real quick, I know you got other people that want to call. I think people are missing the point, man. You know, I played my ball right here in Huntsville, Alabama A&M University. I'm an HBCU grad. Listen, man, you know, I'm a Bama fan. Let me say that before I start. Coach Saban was right in his approach when it comes to what the reasoning behind it, but he was dead wrong in how he delivered it. You can't be personal like that, man. You can't throw out schools that pay for kids unless you know this for a common fact. And if you're not willing to reveal those facts to the public, you can't really say stuff like that, man, then apologize for the backlash because it's coming.
Yeah, and we mentioned that yesterday, Sean, that when he went into kind of it's in the newspapers, it's reported they bragged about it. And I kind of questioned that on the show yesterday saying we heard something about a documentary. We heard something about players in NIL, but we don't know anything. I haven't seen anything. So
exactly. And that's my thing, man. You know, everybody I talk to here, from my frat bros to my former teammates, kind of hot about that. You know, you can't just go single out Jackson State, man. What can Jackson State – I want everybody to think about this. What can Jackson State offer a kid, any kid, that Alabama or any of these Power Five schools can't outside of the obvious? You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
When you a young man and you have family who went to Jackson State, You go on that campus and you see the culture. It's easy to get wrapped up in that, and it's easy to commit to that with Coach Prime. I want people to understand that. It's a lot of people that has no, they have no experience in the HBCU and understand, Cole, you've been out to the tailgates. You understand what it is like that. It's a little different. And to some of us who have family who went to HBCUs, you want to be a part of that. And if you can offer me a small NIL deal, it don't have to be $1 million. This kid, family still living in a 3-bedroom house with hella kids. You know what I'm saying? We got to be more responsible, man. I support Coach Saban, but he was wrong in what he said. He was wrong in the approach he did. And it pissed a lot of people off.
Yep.
Straight up.
So understandably so.
I just wanted to drop that jewel real quick. I thank you guys for taking my call.
Great call, Sean. I appreciate it. And that kind of goes back to what I said a little bit earlier in that I do feel like some of the context from Coach Saban has been off point in the last week and a half. You know, when he talked about the parity, I think that the message wasn't necessarily as clear as he wanted it to be, so people took it a different way. And then kind of following up what Sean was saying, I think what Coach Saban was trying to accomplish the other night was in line. It's just that direction, those few directions, maybe a little bit misguided. Not so much the Miami part of it, because I mean, John Ruiz will tweet it out gladly, and he'll tag his two boys, and he'll tag his cigarette boat racing team, and he'll tag Life Purse or whatever it is. I can't remember the name of it.
Life Wallet.
Life Wallet, that too. And he'll tell you that every detail he's got going on. So not so much that one, but the other ones, yeah, absolutely. Got to be careful with how you just throw that stuff out, because I haven't seen an actual report of where that money is, how that money was transferred, whatever. I don't know. We've heard people talk about it, rumblings of it, but we don't know. Chris Lowe was with Coach Saban yesterday. We know that. He'll share what it was like and give us some updates as to the conversations that took place while he was in Tuscaloosa. We'll do that next right here on McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the Morning. Before I go to Chris Lowe, I want to hit the Twitter feed quickly. At Mac and Cube, you can always tweet into the show. Taylor Burr, @_Taylor_Burr, tweets in, @ColeKubik, @MacandCube. We just going to beat this story to death? Question mark. I mean, the same things have been said over and 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 over. Annoying, huh? Question mark?
Nope.
Jimbo had not said anything when I went off the air yesterday, Taylor.
Right.
So you better damn believe it. And we're going to do it next with Chris Lowe from ESPN. He's on the Bud Light Hotline. Chris, welcome into the show. A scheduled visit with Nick Saban yesterday. You're already in Tuscaloosa and all of this takes place. Can you just sort of set the mood for us as to what it was like being in Tuscaloosa after Jimbo took to the podium yesterday?
A little bit like being in the eye of the hurricane, Cole.
I can imagine.
You know, I actually got into town Wednesday night in Tuscaloosa and got in my hotel, and that's about the time everything went down, that Saban's comments at that function in Birmingham got out, and my phone started buzzing. I'm sure yours did too, and never quit. And of course, I was over on campus early the next morning and actually talked to Nick a couple different times. And it was, I guess, the first time I talked to him just briefly before Jimbo's press conference. And then my sit down was scheduled with him after. So it was pretty eventful. And I think he knew, you know, I'll say this, he knew after everything came out the night before and how all the reaction, because, you know, Nick's not one of these guys, obviously, that sits there and looks at Twitter, listens to what's going on. I mean, but he'd been briefed sort of the way that thing is blowing up. I think he knew immediately that, and he said it. He said it to a couple different people. Me, I know he talked to Jay Kester yesterday that where he screwed up was bringing up anybody's name specifically, i.e. Jackson State and Texas A&M. But, you know, he's not one to back down from a lot of things, and he certainly wasn't backing down his stance when it comes to using NIL to, in his words, bid for players out of high school. So it was like what you would probably expect, that it was pretty crazy. But you know, the thing about him is, you know, he never, you know, I've known him for a long time, and I've covered him for a long time. And he's never one of these guys that is just sort of in the throes of exactly that. He's always got other things going on. He's able to compartmentalize things. And I asked him point blank, you know, after Jimbo just skewered him, I said, you know, even for you, a guy that's been in this business and has heard it all, I mean, you know, how does that play with you? You just sort of looked at me and said, listen, you know, I'm to the point in my career, and I think I quoted him saying this, that I don't really care what people think of me. He said, I want to say what I believe. He said, I shouldn't have mentioned Jimbo's team, or I should have mentioned Deion's team, but I feel strongly about this. I feel strongly that this is not the way that college football needs to go. Anybody really wants it to go, where there's just open bidding on the market for high school kids, and with, in his words, no salary cap. And, you know, I don't mind sticking up and saying what I believe.
We're visiting with Chris Lowe of ESPN, at CLowe ESPN. Follow him on Twitter. He's on the Bud Light Hotline. I'm interested because you know how calculated Coach Saban is. You know how pointed he is. What do you believe he was attempting to accomplish? What was the goal two nights ago at that event to honor the countdown to the World Games here in Birmingham?
You know, he never really specifically said. We talked about a lot of things. I think Cole, much like, and you remember this, much like the COVID year, he was one of the first coaches to come out publicly and speak up pretty loudly. In fact, I was there with him, happened to be there that day, about, hey, we need to play. I think we can play. This is the way we can do it. And everybody's sort of trying to look for ways not to play. Let's look at it the opposite way, try to find ways to play. You know, I think Nick Smart, I have to know his voice is going to be heard by a lot of people, and I think that's probably a little bit of what he was doing the other night, to say, listen, you know, let's get some people started on this. Let's get some people working on it, whether it's Greg Sankey, whether it's other commissioners, other power brokers in college sports, and just not, I would say, trying to put pressure, but trying to really sort of turn up the heat. Let's figure a way out of this where we can sort of come up with a model or a system with NIL that works for everybody, players, coaches, the sport, and it doesn't just become a free-for-all the way it's come. I think that's a big part of it that he's trying to get out there. And I think he's also probably trying to send a message to his people in Alabama. Listen, if this is the way it's going to be, okay, if it is going to indeed be, you know, what it is right now, what it's been to this point, the game's going to change. That means it's going to change for you guys as owners and boosters as well. And I think the one thing we all agree on, Saban, whether you're Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, or anybody, is when things have changed in college football, Cole, he's always adapted and evolved. And I don't really think that there's any reason to believe that if things don't change with where we're headed right now in NIL, that he won't adapt and evolve with this.
Chris, I was asked yesterday if I thought that this would maybe press fast forward a little bit or just sort of speed up the process of Nick Saban leaving college football. And by saying that, I don't mean that I think, because I said, my answer was yes. And I don't think that that means it's after this season, but I do think that the chances of him stepping down maybe earlier than he anticipated because of what everything is, how everything's being handled, is more likely than it was before a lot of this, say 2-3 years ago. How would you respond to that same question of, do you think that a lot of what's happening in college football right now could be shoving Nick Saban a little bit closer to retirement, maybe earlier than he would have anticipated a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I don't think he's crazy about this version of college football, Cole. I really don't. And but he's also not a guy that's going to tuck his tail and run. Hey, that's not been his history.
Sure.
He's 70. You know, Nick ain't going to coach forever. I mean, I think it's probably – as possible, it's probably difficult for all of us to think that, or to envision a time when he's not coaching football. But, you know, he is 70 years old. He'll be 71, I think, in October. I think a lot of it depends on what happens. He's always said to me, and he repeated this to me yesterday, that if it gets to the point where he feels like he's not there are in a position to really create value on the field, off the field for guys, and be a part of continuing to increase or sort of elevate that program and keep it at where they are, then he'll walk away. He's not going to be told or have to be told that, you know what, it's time. And I think that probably applies to this. You know, if we get to a point a year from now, a year and a half from now, and nothing's done, it just continues to sort of be where we are. And there's no, when I say upheaval, there's no sort of push in college sports to try to get the hands around this. And again, I'm not smart enough to know how you do that without a long, lengthy court battle. Then who knows what's going to happen with him? I know the part he loves the most about coaching college football is going out and finding kids that fit what he wants to do, kids that are competitive, kids that are driven, kids that fit his program, and then sort of developing and coaching and being on the field and being hands-on in everything he does, and in an environment called where it really strictly becomes, all right, you know, I can get this deal at Oklahoma, this deal at Texas A&M, this deal at A&M, or this deal at Alabama. That's really not really about. And I think a lot of coaches, let's be honest here, I know you talk to all guys, a lot of guys feel and believe 1,000% what Nick said yesterday, what Dabo Sweeney said a month ago. They just haven't been quite as public about it. That if you start genuinely becoming a bidding process, strictly a bidding process for kids out of high school, that it's just going to become just a major blot for college sports and college football, and guys really aren't signing up for that. And I think you also, to be fair, you got to look at it from the player's perspective. If you're coming certainly from a tough background, or you're 17 years old, you've got collectives telling you, hey, we can get you $1 million deals, we can get you hundreds of thousands of dollars deal. I mean, this is a new time in college football. You're certainly going to listen, and you're going to be interested in that. So when Alabama calls, and at Tennessee calls, and Ohio State calls, and Texas calls, you're going to ask, all right, what's my NIL deal there? What's it at Texas? What's it at Tennessee? And that's the type of thing that drives them crazy. Not the fact that Bryce Young can make $1.6 million when he's at Alabama. Not the fact that a kid can get somewhere and be a great player and then sort of earn it. That's his thing. They earn it. More power to them. That's what NIL is supposed to be. But straight bidding for players out of high school, that's the thing he's most opposed to, and I don't think he's going to keep quiet about it. He's going to keep singing what we've heard him sing the last couple of days.
Chris Lowe of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. He was in Tuscaloosa yesterday, had a chance to sit down with Nick Saban. That was pre-planned before everything happened 2 nights ago at the World Games event, and then obviously with Jimbo Fisher taking to the podium. I want to go to that side of this. You've covered a lot of college football. You've been around Jimbo. You've interviewed him. You know him. You sat down with him. I'm just interested in what your thoughts were after seeing how he handled things at the podium yesterday there in College Station.
Well, I'll just say this. I had a feeling, or I had a sort of a heads up that was coming, and talking to somebody very close to that situation late Wednesday night. Now, I didn't know if Jimbo would simmer down or if he would sort of dial it back. If anything, he took it to another level. And I know he was mad, and as I said yesterday, you know, if I were in his shoes, I'd been mad too. You know, that someone threw my team's name out there when you're doing right now, I mean, what they're doing or anybody else is doing in the world of NIL, what is Saban himself clarified yesterday is not illegal. There really are no rules right now. The NCAA is not in a position to enforce anything. And despite of whether it's in the spirit of what NIL is supposed to be or not be, it's certainly a time to capitalize if you're A&M, if you're Jackson State, if you're Tennessee, if you're anybody, Oregon, on what's going on. So I get Jimbo being mad. I think the way it sort of got personal and the way he personally went after Saban, you know, talking about and I'm paraphrasing here, the God complex, calling him a narcissist, you know, basically referencing that maybe he needed to be slapped. You know, I haven't heard in my time of doing this, 36 some years, a coach publicly going after another coach in that manner and it getting that personal. Certainly not in a public forum. I think Cole, all that conversations with coaches off the record are just sort of in sit downs that were not public, where someone's criticizing the coach or going after him, that type of thing. But at a press conference like that, that's a first for me. And it's a, I mean, you know what's going to happen now. I mean, that game is, I mean, I looked at the date yesterday, but the build up to that game is going to be unlike anything I've seen and covered in SEC football. And you know what? They're going to be in the same room together here in what, about 12 days in Destin, the SEC spring meetings. So buckle up, man. It's going to get, it's going to get even wilder.
Chris, thanks so much for the time. I know you'll have something coming out soon there at ESPN.com. We'll keep our eyes out for it. Look forward to catching up again soon.
You bet, Cole. Always great to catch up, man.
Yes, sir. Chris Lowe of ESPN, at C Lowe ESPN. Follow him on Twitter. Find his work at ESPN.com. And he joined us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Jimbo was asked about potentially bumping into Nick Saban and how that might go over. On confrontation. She didn't answer the phone.
Allegedly.
Got it. Okay. It is not alleged that we will have great football in downtown Birmingham this weekend. The Summer Blast kicks off with two great days of USFL action at Protective Stadium. Saturday, noon, Stars taking on the Bandits. And at 6:30, cheer on our Birmingham Stallions and get a free beach towel. Sunday, Family Day, got a doubleheader. One ticket gets you in for the Maulers and Breakers at 11 a.m. and for the Gamblers and Generals at 3. Tickets just $10. Kids get in free. Buy your tickets today at theusfl.com. I'm pumped to take – we got my son's birthday party this weekend at the USFL game. It's going to be cool. How I'm going to manage the number of kids are going to be there in a professional football stadium, I am not 100% certain, but I am in the process of recruiting assistance because I will need it.
Good deal.
I have called my collective, and I will offer you beverages and food.
I got you.
Before you even commit to doing this, in exchange for helping me with these children. Got to get to a break. Be back with more right after this on McElroy and Cubic in the Morning. For a moment, I thought this was a new commercial jingle. Because it's talking about washing dishes, different things, and I was thinking, is this for a like a maid service or
the premise is they working in a country club in the kitchen at the time.
What is this?
High School Musical 2, the greatest High School Musical of the three. Yeah, work
is that
the
one
out.
That Jordan Rogers is in?
Hold on, say what now?
Yeah, Jordan Rogers is in one of those movies, man.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yes, no, 100%. It's a whole conversation we've had with him.
It couldn't have been High School Musical.
It may not be High School Musical. I'm sorry, Pitch Perfect too. Same thing. Same exact thing.
Time out. Now that I think about it,
Pitch Perfect too. I have not seen either.
You ain't seen Pitch Perfect?
No.
Oh man, you missing out. You missing out.
I'm not missing out.
You missing out.
We have 5 minutes left in this segment.
My fault.
No, it's all good. I'm going to get to these calls that we have because I want to give everybody a chance to get in. But I also, I've got to go like a little bit sidebar here. There's something that because of all this madness, and who was it that tweeted in earlier? Taylor? Kaler?
Yeah.
Flair? Haler? Slayer? Jailer? I don't know, remember his name. Tweeting in mad that we're still talking about this. So this is for you. You know there's something that you and I desperately need to discuss that happened over the weekend that you and I were neither aware of, that I became aware of.
Yeah. I hadn't watched it.
Who Killed Sarah season 3 is out.
And they just like dropped it. Like I didn't get a whisper of, I didn't get any leaks. There was nothing. They just dropped it. Like I was like, whoa. They could ease that over to me.
I got another part about this you need to know.
You finished it.
We've been watching it. We're 3 episodes in season 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm just going to tell you right now, Damien, I did not believe it was humanly possible for a television show to be worse than that show was.
Oh, gosh.
It is way past worse than I ever thought it would be.
It's gone off the deep end.
And it's awful.
God almighty. I mean, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to lock in.
That's where we are.
That's what I'm saying. I'm still going to lock
My
in.
My wife actually enjoys it. And I'm just like, what do you enjoy about this? It is so bad.
I don't know.
So terrible. And the guy from The Specialist, The Assassin, it's an older movie. You probably haven't seen it. He's a pretty famous actor. He's actually has a pretty big role in season three, okay. Which I was like, how'd they get this guy?
Okay. Hey, I'm telling
because
you.
Because I've never seen any of the other actors in this show.
None of them.
Like all 150 members of the cast, I've never seen them appear in anything else.
Anything else other than
that. It's that bad. So, yeah. All right. Back to what Kaler wants us to talk about. JD in Huntsville, you're on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
First of all, Cole, I hope that Fire Marshal Bill will be a regular part of the show. I laugh so hard hearing you guys play that. I had to go back and look at it on YouTube. That's just hilarious.
I made Damien watch like four of them yesterday.
Yeah, the classics.
Those kids, they have no idea how funny that show was back in the day.
Oh, my God, that was so funny. But look... Listen, Jimbo Fisher, very insecure person, man. He referenced Bobby Bowden and what he learned from Bobby Bowden. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember Bobby Bowden being accused not only of free shoes, I remember Steve Spurrier actually accusing him of intentionally trying to hurt his quarterback. And you don't get more personal than that. And how did Bobby Bowden respond? As just Steve being Steve, you know. And one thing, he talked about what his dad taught him, things like that. I'm thinking, one thing my dad always taught me, you never excuse bad behavior by pointing at other bad behavior. So not only was I disappointed, in Saban. He went about it the wrong way. Very disappointed in Jimbo Fisher, but I got to tell you, probably more disappointed than anybody, Billy Lucci. Are you guys going to talk to him today? Have y'all already talked to him?
7 minutes.
Wow. Hey, Billy, if you're listening, you can't excuse that behavior. I know that's your paycheck, and I know you gotta support your guy and everything, but you just can't point at Nick Saban's bad behavior and excuse Jimbo Fisher's bad behavior. That's just look. Jimbo Fisher got a little bit of Dabo Sweeney in him, but that just comes from being insecure. You guys talk about not being allowed into the VIP lounge or whatever, and I think that's just what it stems from. It's unfortunate, but golly. And then won't accept an apology? What does that say about a person? Somebody does you wrong and comes to apologize, and you won't accept it? That speaks more about you than them. So anyway, guys, look forward to hearing what Billy has to say.
Yep, he's coming up here in 6 minutes. Thanks for the call, JD, and appreciate you listening on the Ump there in Huntsville. Millicent is on the Bud Light Hotline, wants to chime in. Welcome into the show.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
First of all, I agree 100% with everything the last caller just said. And I also wanted to say that what he said about not answering Saban's call, I've always been taught, my parents taught me to always forgive somebody, especially if they're offering forgiveness. And Saban, no, he said he messed up and he was sorry. And, you know, you forgive them and you go on because you're grown-ups. You're not children.
Yes, ma'am.
As a mother, I would not want my children to go play for Jimbo Fisher because of the way he acted yesterday. If he'll act like that over something someone said, what is he going to do to my child on that field when he does something he doesn't like? I just think he was ill-tempered, and it was disgusting listening to the way he was talking. Also, I've heard Lane Kiffin say worse things than that about what Jimbo's doing, and he doesn't jump down Lane Kiffin's throat because, unlike Saban, Lane Kiffin would give it right back to him, which I like.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for the call, Millicent. And I think the previous outburst after signing day was in response to Lane Kiffin. Billy Lucci of Texags is next.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.